For Palm Sunday, I'm proclaiming the Word of God from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, through your Spirit-filled Word, shape our minds so that we may look out not only for our own interests, but also for the interests of others. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Sometimes we human beings like to fantasize about what we would do if we had plenty of money, or if we had real good looks, great power in this world. It doesn't take us too much to start getting on a train of thought, thinking, for example, what we'd do if we had $1 billion. I already have my scheme worked out, the properties that I'd buy, the places that I'd go, the meals that I'd eat. And maybe my suggesting such a thing to you already gets you on such a train of thought. The coronavirus notwithstanding, we can naturally go in to a train of thought thinking about what we would do if we had power, if we had money, if we had the goods of this world at our disposal. The problem is that this train of thought takes us nowhere. It doesn't give us peace in ourselves. It doesn't free us to serve our neighbour. It is not the path of love. If you like, it's a vain train going nowhere. Now, as human beings, we want freedom. We want joy. We want to delight in what life has to offer. But today from God's word, I'm proclaiming good news that comes not from what we human beings can generate by our own strength, force of imagination and place in this world, by what God gives us instead. I'm proclaiming the good news that God gives us a delightful and free way of thinking that is filled with the Spirit, that lifts us up in love, that frees us to find out who we are even as we serve our neighbour. I'm proclaiming the good news that God gives us a train of thought, that God gives us a mindset in Christ Jesus. That we receive this way of thinking, this mindset, as we hear the good news about who Jesus is and what he has done for us. I'm proclaiming the good news that Jesus' lordship frees us to live a new way, so that we live life to the full and find indeed in God the rest that our hearts are seeking. Now, before we get into today's reading, I want to go back a bit and read out to you the verses that come directly before today's reading. So Paul is writing to the Christians in Philippi. Now, from other parts of the letter, we understand that Paul is writing in captivity. It seems that he is under house arrest in Rome. By the way, being in custody did not stop St. Paul proclaiming the gospel. It did not stop the progress of God's word. This can be encouraging for us to hear as we consider our current situation. If being in house arrest did not stop God's word from its progress for St. Paul, neither does our situation now mean that God's word is hampered. On the contrary, this is an opportunity for God's word to go out further. So let's take this encouragement. Now, so Paul is writing to the Christians in Philippi, and this is what he has to say. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, and there is, all these things come for St. Paul as gifts from God. Make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Here St. Paul is presenting to us a picture of Christian life that flows from God's great love for us in Christ Jesus. This picture of Christian life is a picture of a community together that's marked by a willingness of the members to look out for each other's interests, to serve one another in love. Now, I'll use an analogy here that perhaps can unpack this in a bit more clarity. Think of a team sport like soccer. A team works together well when each person knows their vocation, their responsibility on the team, and helps the other players play to the best of their ability. So, for example, a goalie knows it's their job to defend the goals, but also to make sure that the ball gets to the players on their team, that it gets to them at the best time, so they have the best opportunity to serve, to score a goal. The team works together well, each person knowing what their interests are, but looking out for the interests of the other. In the church, we are in a team established by God, you could say. We have our own callings given to us by God. We work together well and serve a common goal of love when we look out for the interests of others. There's a mindset going on, in other words, in the church, given to us by God. And this is what St. Paul goes on to talk about in this great Christ hymn, Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11. This is what St. Paul says. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited. When we human beings fantasize about having wealth or power or glory, it's natural for us to think about having these things to our own advantage. What we could do for ourselves if only we had these things. But in Christ Jesus, we see how God thinks. We also see how a true human being thinks. A true human being made in the image of God. Now, Jesus is a true human being born of the Virgin Mary. He is also the true Son of God, begotten of the Father from eternity. In his earthly ministry, Jesus did not think about using his status for his own glory, to win himself the glory of this world. He knew that the path of love is the true path of life. So rather than exploit his divine status to his own ends, he became a servant in love. This is what St. Paul writes. But Jesus emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Now, these last words are familiar to us. We sing them during the season of Lent. We've sung them already in this service. Our Lord Jesus Christ poured himself out in obedience to the Father and out of love to the world. He came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many, even though this meant his death on a cross. Now, in the ancient world, death on a cross was the ultimate punishment, a punishment reserved for rebellious slaves, a humiliating punishment reserved for violent criminals. And yet Jesus, out of obedience to the Father and out of love for the world, took his path all the way to his death, even the shameful death on the cross. The same hands, the song says, that flung stars into space were to cruel nails surrendered. But it's not as if Jesus' death is presented as the goal of his life. Jesus' goal was always obedience to the Father. And where there is God, there is life. Now, it's true that Jesus' life of service did not win him the acclaim and the thanks of the human community, but it was honoured by the Father. Jesus himself had said that all those who exalt themselves would be humbled, but those who humble themselves would be exalted by the Father, by God. And this is what we see with glorious clarity in the path that Jesus took. This is what St. Paul writes. Therefore, God also exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. The cross from which Jesus cried out, my God, why have you abandoned me? The cross was not the final chapter in Jesus' life. It's not the end of the gospel, but the beginning of Jesus' exaltation. Through his life of service, through his death on the cross, Jesus is not only exalted by the Father, he is given the name Lord, which reveals to us what true authority is, so that we bend our knee before him and confess that he is who God says him to be, the Lord. And not just Lord in the sense of a specially honoured human being, but as God in the flesh. In the last part of this Philippians reading, St. Paul is alluding to Isaiah 45, in fact, even quoting from it. So let's hear the word of the Lord as it is written in Isaiah 45. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is no other. By myself I have sworn, and from my mouth has gone forth in righteousness a word that shall not return. To me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. To me, says the Lord God, every knee bow, every tongue swear. To Jesus Christ, our Lord, and we say together with St. Thomas, our God. That's why we have these words in the Small Catechism. I believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is truly God. He has always been the Son of the Father. He is also a real human being, the Virgin Mary's son. Jesus rescued me when I was sentenced to death. He set me free from all my sins, from death, and from the power of the devil. It cost him more than gold or silver. It cost him his life. Even though he was holy and innocent, he suffered and died for me. He suffered and died for you. This is the message of the gospel. The gospel is not primarily about what we can do for God. It is what God has done for us. It is his trustworthy word in Christ Jesus. And it's this gospel message that gives us the freedom to see who we are and to see with clarity the opportunities that God gives us to serve in love. Our status is assured by God. In baptism, all that is Christ's is yours. And the Spirit will teach you what this means as you meditate on Jesus' words, as you meditate on his life, as God gives you opportunities to show love, in forgiving others, to show love in listening to people when they speak to you so that you know what to pray for them, to show love as you see others in their need and offer help as you are able. This is a way of thinking that God gives us through the gospel that shows itself in a transformed life and in a transformed community. Not a community yet of perfection. We are sinners on the path. Indeed, on this path, we need to confess our sins, our weakness, and in Jesus' name I say that there is forgiveness. But God is joining us together in a community where we may progress with hope, where the gospel message shapes our minds as individuals and shapes our lives as a community, where we look after the interests of others. It's in this that the Lordship of Christ is seen in this world and that God's name is glorified. We have a way of thinking that does not come naturally, but that comes through the gospel. We have a train of thought given to us by God that lifts us up, that gives us peace, that fills us with love for others, that shows us what real human life is, and that shows us what it means to be partakers of the divine nature. Well, may God give us great grace as we walk on this path, so that we may show love, so that God's name may be glorified. And may this be done for Christ's sake. Amen.